Hey, what's up, you guys? It's Sunday.
Yeah, okay, everybody. It's funny, because as soon as we start streaming, they all start fucking piling in there.
Well, yeah, because everybody knows that, like, you just have to... We haven't been in the waiting room for five minutes.
Yeah, they're all in the waiting room for 5 minutes. 13 people.
Which I don't know. I don't know if we have to keep doing that. That was your idea, not my idea.
But. Well, it's good to let everybody kind of back up a little bit. Most shows do it. Because if you just start streaming immediately, you'll only have like one person.
And then everybody will show up and be like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then they all start coming in. So
I mean, but we always stream at the same time, though. Yeah, that's true. It's like at 6 o'clock. It's not like we're just like bursting in, surprising everybody like, hey, it's us. We don't usually do that kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah. So, it's Sunday, and as I promised, or maybe threatened is a better word, we watched Rawhead Rex the other day, and so we decided we were going to talk about it, because I can't believe we haven't covered this movie.
I've seen it many times. Saw it when it came out.
I have as well. I'm not sure how I manage that, because the movie, well, the thing about it, okay, so the movie, it's not good, okay? Can we agree on that? It's not a good movie, but...
No.
It's still, like, pretty fucking entertaining.
No, it's a good movie. No, it's good.
It's entertaining in how ridiculous it is.
It's good. For what it is, it's made up out of nothing, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
We saw it when it came out. He saw it, too. He wasn't with us, but we were going to high school together. And me, Steve, and fucking Jason, we rented this bitch from fucking Blockbuster, I think. Either that or Hollywood Video, one of the two.
Hollywood.
All the spicy shit was over at Hollywood. And that was called Hollywood?
I think that was another, a competing.
The sign was red and
white. I don't think we had one. We had a Blockbuster later, and then we had a movie gallery.
Yeah. But we might have got this one from Hollywood. Hollywood Theater. I think there were Hollywood Movies or Hollywood Video. I think it was something like that was the name of it. Grampter's probably remembers. He probably remembers what
Grampter said. 1986. You saw it at the Showboat in Riverview. He asked.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Did you see it in the theater or did you like rent it? I did not see.
Saw
this
it in the theater.
Theater
first, and then we rented it.
I'm pretty sure. I think we
I think no. We rented it first. I think we rented it because Showboat was reruns and shit that wasn't. Showboat was a privately owned theater, and. Maybe they showed it there, but I don't think we saw it there. I'm pretty sure we rented it. And it was new. I think it was released almost directly to video, wasn't it?
No, I'm pretty sure it got a theatrical release. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Showboat got it like a couple weeks after it had left the other theaters.
Yeah, we had like theaters soon. Like that,
too. It was like
that,
right.
It was like a buck. Back in the early 90s, you'd go see shit for like a buck after like a month or two. After
Showboat was a dollar theater. Yeah, and my buddy Mike worked there. He fucking swept it up. It's all torn down now, though. But no, we saw it, and we liked it. We liked it. It was all right. We were goofing on it a little bit too. All right.
Yeah, I mean, even for 1986, you know, you could cut it some slack because it was 1986 and it's low budget,
right?
But even by those standards,
yeah.
The monster is not great.
Jason was big into fucking H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
So he would read Lovecraft stuff. And he was big into off-brand horror. And this just seemed very off-brand to us. But it also had like a feeling of legitimacy. You know, Irish demons, you know, coming up out of the ground from underneath the stone. And he was an ancient warlord from the past, you know. And he was just fucking shit up, you know. And he was satanic. And what sold us on the thing is when it was pissed on the priest. And he's going, baptize me, you know. That kind of shit. We're like, yeah, this fucking movie's awesome, you know. Because that was really going out there. And then the stained glass with the fucking monster head in it and the weird puzzle. Which, in the day... It seemed like that was some mysterious shit. You look at it now, there's not much to it. But back in the day, you thought that was like a nifty idea. They had laser beams coming through the eyes of the fucking Rawhead Rex inside the fucking stained glass window or stained glass in the church.
And then when the sun comes through, it makes like a red laser that the kitty can chase.
Yeah.
I made up that last part.
Touching the tabernacle and getting possessed, and we weren't really sure what that meant. And I don't think we really understood the end, but I understand the ending now with like the sacred feminine balancing it out. Fucking raw head, his head was raw because it was too hard from all that testosterone. See, it's a fucking phallic symbol fucking thing. That's what I think. I think the whole raw head Rex was a fucking phallic symbol.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is that if you had read the original story, which is actually very, very good, it's from Books of Blood, Volume 3.
Yeah.
And if you had seen the graphic novel that was based on that story and had a better design of the monster in the graphic novel and the way that Clive Barker describes the monster in the story is nothing like... Not necessarily. He kind of looks like... I've seen a couple people point out, they think, and I'm talking about the graphic novel monster here, not the movie monster, because we'll get into that. But the graphic novel monster, you can look it up, like if you look up, you know, Rawhead Rex graphic novel, you can see what the monster looks much, much better. It's like much scarier. Its body kind of looked like, its body is sort of like grayish blue, and it kind of looks a little bit like from the head down, it kind of looks like Pumpkinhead. Like, he's just very, like, wiry and thin. Yeah. He's, like, real, real big, like 9 or 10 feet tall. From the neck down, yeah. And then its head...
From the head down is the whole body.
Yeah, that's the... You know what I mean. But then his head kind of looks like... It does... And then he has kind of, like, fur, like, around his shoulders, kind of. Yeah. But then his head is sort of, like, brownish yellow gold, sort of. But it looks kind of like the head of a penis.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
But it kind of looks like a moon, too. Like, it's really big and round, and it's got, like, this really, really wide mouth. And when he opens it, there's, like, all these big, huge fucking teeth.
Yeah.
And his eyes are, like, really little. And they're red, but they're, like, these little piggy eyes and, like, a little, like, nose like that. And he's actually pretty cool looking.
And this, he just looks like a pig, pretty much.
In this one, I
saw... Like a razor pig.
I was reading a review earlier, and it said that the monster in this looks like a cross between, what do you call it? What was that fucking show? Oh, it said he looks like a Power Rangers villain crossed with a member of GWAR.
Yeah.
He does, kind of. Because the thing about it is, like, and I was thinking this, too. This occurred to me when we were rewatching the movie. I'm like, why? He's supposed to be like a demigod or like a demon.
Yeah.
He's not a warlord or anything like that. He's a supernatural creature. He's a demigod. So why would he be wearing clothes? Like, why would he look like a heavy metal monster? Like, why would he have a mullet?
Because it was
for,
the 80s.
For example.
Because it was the 80s.
Yeah.
They made that.
Why would he dress like he had like this kind of, it wasn't leather, I don't think, but it was kind of like this thing, and it had like little little animal skulls like on it. He looked like a monster version of the biker from Raising Arizona. The biker guy from Raising Arizona.
To me,
except like with a monster head.
He looked like Blackie Lawless from Wasp.
Yeah.
If he was a monster. And we liked it. You know, we're like, yeah.
I mean, it's just so, it's sad because it's like, this is such a good idea for a story. Like, the monster just looks so, so bad. It's just kind of like, but it's, in a way, it kind of goes around and becomes like kind of good again just because the monster is so ludicrous. You can see, like, the monster's face, it's just rubber, like a rubber mask, and it doesn't move. Like, it doesn't really move.
Well,
like,
in some shots, it did.
I mean, and, you know, and the eyes just kind of, like, they glow red, and they kind of go woo, like that, and they kind of look a little bit googly.
Yeah.
Like, and he looks a little bit cross-eyed, which, you know, that's not really... Not really kind of, like, you know, leaning into the menace there. He just kind of looks real goofball.
They did a couple of shots where they did a close up on the face. It's not moving. Somehow they animated it so the eyes blinked. They only did it twice, but the rest of the time he's running around and it's obviously a fucking big old mask.
Yeah, and his mouth is just like.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's just going around like that. And sometimes in some shots you can see the actor. Inside his mouth.
Yeah, you can see his mouth. Yeah.
Like if you look close.
Yeah, I mean they didn't. Have the right person making that costume. But, you know, that almost happened with Predator. The first monster that they used in Predator fucking sucked. They took it out and put the Predator that you know. And evidently the Predator that was in there was bad, like this, you know. Imagine that. But, I mean, it didn't look like this, but it was as bad as this. So, but the, it's not a bad movie. I mean, it's bad in the way that it was a movie that felt a lot like other horror movies of the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah, it did.
It was part of a scene, and for us, it was just a new one to watch. It came out, and we watched it, you know. And we just put that in the pile with the rest of them, like with Reanimator and fucking From Beyond and all that. It wasn't as good as those, but it was just another one to see. And you, in certain, when we watched them when we were, you know, in high school, we really only focused on the scenes that we liked. That's what we remembered. The shit we didn't really like that much, we'd forget all about that.
Yeah.
We just remember the shit that we liked about it.
I kind of feel like a lot of people do that, which is why sometimes people saw a movie a long time ago and they're like, oh man, that was so cool. And then they watch it again when they're older. Like, what the fuck was I thinking? Yeah. Because they only remembered like one or two scenes that were awesome. And then the rest of it was like shitty. Because I've had that happen too.
Yeah, that's the way it was. But the storytelling was actually pretty good. It was kind of standard. The acting was interesting, standard for the time.
The acting was interesting.
Well, it was entertaining. It was an Irish movie.
Yeah, okay. Even though the original story was actually set in England, it was set in a village, but it was supposed to be like right outside of London. Yeah. They moved this to Ireland, I guess, for tax purposes or whatever.
It was an Irish movie, even though most of the main characters are American. Or they're pretending to be American.
Yeah, I'm not really getting
why. I don't know if that guy really was American.
The weird thing about, the guy that plays, the main character, Howard Hallenbeck.
Might have been English.
I guess he's supposed to be American, right? Because he's over there doing, a research project, right?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he's supposed to be, but for some reason, he kind of sounded American sometimes, but then sometimes I got the impression that I'm like, that sounds like a British actor trying to do an American accent. Yeah. Sometimes, on some words. I'm not sure. I don't know.
It was kind of like the way a foreigner might imagine a New York accent sounds.
Yeah, because sometimes he sounded like very, very thickly New York, but then sometimes he just sounded kind of like regular American, and sometimes it was just, I don't know, it was just very strange.
Yeah.
It was a strange performance.
Yeah.
Everybody in this gave a really strange performance.
Yeah.
Really, the only, I mean, some of them are fine, but it's like, I liked the guy that played Declan O'Brien, the priest that gets peed on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's just great. Like fucking went for it.
He steals the show, actually.
And he's just like, I'm just going to chew all this scenery, all of it.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome. It's so awesome. That guy's awesome. Because like I said, if you're going to have a monster, he probably looked at the monster suit and he's like, okay, this is like some schlocky B movie. I'm just going to roll with that.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody else was kind of trying to take it seriously, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But the thing about it, okay. So
you confirmed it though. I figured Rawhead was supposed to be a dick. He's a dick monster.
Yeah. Well, he's supposed to be in the original story. He is a demigod.
Yeah.
That he's he represents the negative embodiment of the male sex drive.
Yeah. He's like Baal.
Yeah. He's that. Yeah. So he's kind of like the male sex drive if unbound by morality.
Yeah.
So he's real into rape, real into violence, eating people and shit and just fucking shit up.
Yeah.
And I
figured.
Yeah. And so, and I kind of feel like they didn't really get that across in the movie, and it would have made more sense because at the end of the movie, when he's quote-unquote sort of defeated, kind of, by the woman holding the fertility symbol, the little statue of the pregnant woman, in the story that's much clearer,
right?
Because it's made clear that the demon is afraid of, or it's either afraid of or weakened by or disgusted by women who are pregnant and women who are menstruating.
Yeah.
So they kind of go into that more in the story, which would have, they probably should have done that in the movie more. I kind of, the movie to me, it sucks because the story is so good and it's such a good idea. And I really wish, this is one of the things, I know everybody bitches about remakes, but in this case, I really think one is justified. And Clive Barker has wanted to do a remake, because I don't know, Clive Barker wrote the screenplay for this, so it's pretty close to his original story as far as the plot beats go, but he didn't direct it. This other guy, George Pavlou, directed it, and he also did another Clive Barker adaptation called Underworld, which is also sometimes called Transmutations. Clive Barker didn't like that one either. He was not a big fan of this. movie when it came out. He's like, I just wrote the screenplay. I don't even think he went to the set when they were making it. And then he saw it afterward and he's like, oh no. But there's a story that Clive Barker hated this movie so much that he's like, fuck it, I'm only directing, you know, adaptations of my work from now on. And then we got Hellraiser, which is awesome. But I don't think that's entirely true. You know?
Yeah, this movie's very remakeable. It'd be great. They didn't, in this one, like you said, the main problem is that they didn't do any setup of the yin-yang male-female thing.
They didn't go that much into the mythology.
You had to figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
And they didn't give you much time to do that. I don't even remember that as a kid, so we didn't even pick up on it.
Nope.
As I was watching it play out now as an adult, you know, I know a lot more about mythology. I instantly saw what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So I got it, but the average person wouldn't have. I don't think they would have gotten
it. And it really doesn't. And obviously it would have hammered the point home more if the monster looked more like he described it. I mean, the monster, he's not describing like a walking dick necessarily, but the shape of its head kind of looks like, you know, the head of a penis.
You don't even need to do that, though. You can get away with it in other ways to just make it look really hyper-masculine. You could do that. That'd be enough. And then you're using artifacts that are real hyper-feminine looking to defeat him. So you would know. And you could also just have people do some exposition in the film. You know what I mean? That he's just so fucking manly that he's got to be kept under control. You know? It's that kind of shit.
Well, I mean, like I said, they did kind of do little things. Like, when he gets released at the beginning, the kind of monolith that is presumably, like, keeping him under the earth, like, the last time he was defeated, like, you know, the church windows say, it kind of looks like a dick. It looks like a big earth dick, like, sticking out of the ground. So that's kind of what that is. And like I said, they kind of do a little bit of a thing where one of the people that he is, you know, terrorizing, he goes and, like, tears open that woman's shirt and then sees that she's pregnant and he's like, you know what I mean? And backs away, but you're not really sure. They don't make it super clear. They're like, what, does he not want to kill a baby? Or is he, you know, because the monster's face doesn't move, you can't tell why he didn't kill that woman.
Yeah.
Like, he kills everybody else.
Another thing that we remembered, I remembered we were mentioning it at the time that we saw it, me and Steve and Jason, we noticed that there weren't any cute girls in it. It's just that guy and his wife and the family and the priest.
And can
which
we
is unusual for a horror movie of that era. There's almost always some kind of a teenage damsel in distress type deal.
Well, and
to keep the young guys watching it.
You didn't. There wasn't even a tit shot until the end.
Yeah.
Because remember, because you were saying, why did we even watch this? There's no tits in it. But then, like, at the end, there's a very gratuitous, like, thing where the monster's killing somebody. He's like, oh, there's the tits. Okay.
Yeah, right, yeah.
This is an 80s movie. But the thing about it, too, is that it's a Clive Barker story. And Clive Barker's stories, if you haven't read them, are hyper-hypersexual.
Yeah.
So you would think there'd be, like, a lot more smut in the, because that's his thing, man.
It's Ireland,
he loves that kind of thing.
It's Ireland. Maybe they were fucking limited in what they could do.
Maybe
just
so. I'm not.
Yeah. They had laws, kind of like blue laws.
That's what true. They could do. Yeah.
So.
Which is weird because, like I said, this original story is not set in Ireland. I mean, I don't think it made that much of a difference. The original story is set in England, but I don't really think it made that much of a difference. They probably just did it because it was cheaper.
Some places you can't film nudity, especially back in those days, without special permits because you'd have to call it a porn movie.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do it.
Yeah, like, I remember hearing shit about that.
You couldn't film a movie in Mississippi that had any nudity in it.
Yeah, I heard that. Alabama, too, right. I think. Remember, for a long time, Alabama, you couldn't sell, like, sex toys or anything that.
Yeah, and it's Sharia law down there, basically. It was for
Well, for us, it's up there.
Yeah. It's Sharia law there, basically.
Pretty much. But, yeah, let's talk a little bit about... another thing I don't love, I mean, obviously the thing that everybody brings up when they talk about this movie is, like, how stupid the monster looks. But can we also talk about the family that's at the center of this? I really don't like I don't know if it's the actors, if they just didn't have any chemistry with one another, if they just didn't have... I don't know. It was just, like, a really strange dynamic they had going on. I kind of got the feeling that, I mean, they kind of set it up where the dude, like the main guy, he's gone over to Ireland and they've been there for like a month, I think he says, because he's doing some kind of research project about fertility cults or something like that. So he's going all around Ireland and he's dragging his whole family around with him. And his wife is obviously like not super happy about this because she's like real aggro.
But the thing Hatfield said that I'm right.
About what?
Probably about Ireland and being able to, what kind of licensing you need.
Well, no, because that's been there a long time. Oh, so okay. That must have been something from like a long time ago that you said. But
I just saw that. That's only two comments down. See, that's you're fucking me up, man. You fucking say shit. All y'all say shit. Y'all need to be punished. You say shit, you don't give me goddamn context.
Calm down, Tom.
Yeah, I'm getting mad. Right.
What's the matter with you?
It's good, man.
Are you hopped up on the goofballs?
Yeah, man. No, I took an injection.
Oh, that explains it. That explains it.
Yeah.
So I don't love. So there's a really weird like dynamic between the dad and the mom, and it's like they kind of try to be sexy with one another, but it just comes off as like really awkward and creepy. Also, the kids kind of, the little girl is fine, but that son is really a douche, and he gets killed. Like, but spoiler alert, by the monster. They don't really show it, unfortunately. You know, hey, I know it's the 80s, but it's kind of like, maybe that was another thing they couldn't show. It's like, well, they just imply that the kid died because we're sitting there going, wait, did the kid die? I can't remember. Because all they show is like his bloody, you know, comic book and his shoe. And then, you know, like the monster is like standing there by the car with his blood all over his face and he's like, arr, 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 arr. And then you hear like little nom nom kind of noises.
There were certain things that you couldn't see. And it didn't have anything to do with the rating. Sometimes, if it had to do with video distribution of certain things,
yeah,
where it wasn't illegal, it's just the distributors didn't want to distribute. Yeah. So there, and it always depended on the when and where you're talking about. So may have been that they didn't want to show the kid get killed because it would have changed the ratings or it would have pissed off a distributor. So they did shit like that. Maybe they filmed it and cut it out.
Yeah, because it's really just like implied, and then it's weird because after the kid gets killed, which they don't really show, then it seems like the family is sort of upset about it, but not as upset as you'd think they'd be. You know what I mean? So
I'm like, yelled louder.
They're just like, my son is dead, and I'm just you'd think that they would go through like a lot more grief, and then like the mom and the daughter are just like, yeah, that's super sad. I mean, they're like, man, that wasn't my favorite kid anyway. I got another one. You know what I mean? It's like, it was almost like that. Like, they tried to pretend like they were upset, but they weren't really upset.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff I like about this movie. I like the mythology behind it. I like the story. But it's just, I kind of feel like this wasn't. Yeah, the execution of it was really half-assed.
Most of the problem was the monster.
Yeah.
The monster, they went through all this trouble making this movie. And they didn't make multiple monsters for different shots. You got to have one monster that runs around. You have another monster that for close-ups, like fucking facial expressions, and biting people and stuff. And they didn't do that, really. It was just one. Although, maybe in that one shot, it was a, like, the eyes did blink. Maybe that was a different mask, but it wasn't good enough.
You know, yeah, it just wasn't. And I mean, anybody would have known. I mean, yeah, it was 1986, but
there was all kinds of shit out by then.
Holy shit. I mean, look at some of the movies Predator. They did in the early 80s. Yeah, look at Predator.
Yeah.
Look at The Thing.
Pumpkinhead may have been out by then.
Pumpkinhead, I think, came out in 88.
Okay.
So it was like a couple years after.
But you had fucking Alien and Aliens.
Yeah, I mean, look at that.
So,
I mean, yeah, they probably couldn't afford fucking Stan Winston or, you know, Tom Savini or anything like that, but goddamn.
No, they had other kids.
They had other people that could do that.
That could go in and do that. You just needed a...
No excuse.
You just needed a monster that had a fully articulated face. And you had to shoot it the right way. So it's obviously not a guy in a fucking costume running around.
Looking like Gwar.
Yeah. It's running around like Gwar.
It's
running around
in the middle of... It looks like that. It really does look like that.
A dude in a fucking suit running out in the middle of a bunch of trailers with a bunch of other people right up next to it running around. Just the way that it's shot, it's not convincing at all. That's not how you
shot that. Yeah, it's very clearly a guy in a rubber suit.
Very clearly the lead singer of Gwar at the concert. Very clearly.
He's even acting like rock concert.
Yeah.
Like, the way he's, like, holding arms out, and he's, like, he's got a mullet. It's just kind of, I'm like, why? Why did they think that was a good idea?
It's kind of like they were like, man, people aren't really going to take this seriously. Let's just have fun with this. It's almost like they weren't taking it seriously.
Well, obviously they weren't, because
I think they were like, well, nobody's going to take us seriously.
If anybody came in that was actually, like, taking the shit seriously, like, came in and saw that monster, be like, absolutely not. Yeah. You were fired. Let's get another crew in here and let's do this over. Four Throwdown points out, and aliens only cost $18 million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You don't need a lot of money if you know what you're doing. And honestly, if they were going to go with this goofy-ass looking monster, at least, like, just shoot it in the dark, for Christ's sake. Like, don't show it. The thing about it is that the movie is so, or the monster is so dorky, and they just never fail to show it in broad daylight, like, all the time. They show it, like, 2 or 3 minutes into the film, like, jumping out of the hole in the ground, like, rah! It looks like a fucking wrestling guy.
Tammy says she hadn't seen it in a long time. She wants to see it again. It's not that bad. It's a fun watch. It is fun to watch. It is kind of nostalgic.
Yeah.
And it does kind of, it's one of the movies from that era that you watch it and you go, oh yeah, I remember when movies were like this. You know what I mean? And then you just kind of go back into that mode. I don't know if a younger person would get it, but
they might just think it's, like, just ludicrous. Yeah. Which it is. It is ludicrous.
It's great in the way Halloween 3 is great, if you understand what I'm talking about. It's like that.
Yeah, but Halloween 3 is much better. But it's Halloween 3 is a much better movie.
It's kind of like that. Well, no.
I'm trying to think of, like, what the equivalent of this would be.
Like, what else is this like?
I don't know. It's hard. Because the thing about it, well, it kind of occupies that space where, because you know how, like, some movies are just so ridiculous and they're just like, fuck it, but it's just, like, wildly entertaining because they're just having fun with it. This kind of straddles the line between it's ridiculous, but also they're kind of taking it seriously, so it's kind of like you can't really take it either way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so over-the-top ludicrous that it's hilarious. I mean, it kind of is, but then it's, like, not so, I don't know, but then it's not so good that it's, I don't know, it just takes itself too seriously to really be that entertaining, but it is still kind of entertaining, but I'm sure that they didn't mean for it to be funny in that particular way. I mean, I'm sure that the guy, that was like a German stuntman, I think, the guy in that suit, like that big dude.
Yeah.
I think this is the only movie he was in. But
it wasn't
his
fault, though.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault that the suit looked like that. He didn't make it.
Yeah, and it wasn't his fault that they shot it that way.
Yeah.
They should have shot that thing to leave a lot of mystery with it. Really, what they were talking about is Pumpkinhead, basically.
Yeah, and a lot of people, like a lot of reviews I've read of this, have pointed out that the monster in Pumpkinhead looks a lot like what Clive Barker described in the story than this monster does.
Yeah.
So they could have gone in a more direction like that, where he's just like this big, tall, wiry, like looking thing with a big ass dick hanging down, and he's got like his head that kind of looks like. I mean, the monster looks cool in the graphic novel, I think.
Had this thing looked as good as Pumpkinhead, they would have taken this movie more seriously, I think, and it would have. The actors and shit, maybe. And the crew probably would have taken the movie a little bit more seriously, and it probably would have turned out pretty good. I think they were just going like, yeah, this is some schlock. Let's have fun. It has a kind of a fun element to it. I just don't think they were really taking it seriously. It's almost kind of like they're trying to make it a little bit funny or something. Kind of like in the way that they did Reanimator. The tone is kind of like that.
But the thing about it was that Reanimator
was good.
Was trying to be a dark comedy.
Yeah.
This movie, I kind of feel like some of the people thought they were in a dark comedy and some of the people thought they were in a horror movie, and no one was on the same page.
Exactly.
That's kind of that's kind of how it comes across, because some of the people seem like they're trying to, like, this is a serious, scary movie, and then some people, like the guy playing the priest, is just, like, going hell for leather and just being as ridiculous as possible.
Okay, I got it.
You got it.
I got it. This is the equivalent, this is the monster equivalent of the old fucking 70s classic, late 70s, early 80s classic, Shockwaves.
Oh, yeah.
With the Nazi fucking zombie soldiers. Shockwaves, remember that? It's like that.
We saw that not too long ago. Did we review it?
Yeah. No, I don't think we did. Maybe we did.
I thought we reviewed it.
I like Shockwaves. Because
I'm pretty sure we saw it like not too long
ago. This is kind of like a goofier version of that, but I would say production quality and everything is about the same, about like Shockwaves.
Blurdo Dude says, it's like the Giant Claw level goofiness. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Because the Giant Claw, if you guys, that was like from the 50s.
Oh, with the flying bird?
With the big, like, turkey vulture, whatever the fuck it was, and it had, like, the googly eyes. It's kind of like that.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, it probably cost a little bit more to make, but probably not much more.
Yeah. If Rawhead Rex was a 50s giant monster movie, it would be that one, Giant Claw, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, that's good.
Like a 50s version. Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen, go look up pictures of the Giant Claw, like the monster from that. You'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah, and funny thing is, you know, about the Giant Claw is it was a standard 50s giant monster movie. Pretty standard. Until you saw that monster. You're like, what?
And then everybody
the
just busted out laughing.
Yeah.
I think even in the 50s they busted out laughing.
Yeah.
And their standards were way lower.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
And
they're like, you're kidding, right? I mean, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Giant Claw. What was weird is that they spent a lot of money making that thing and they thought it was going to be great, I think. Isn't that the story behind it? And they spent
I don't know.
Money.
Like, maybe we should review that, actually, because it's like...
Because they did a lot of cool shots where they had giant claws coming down trying to grab people and wasn't it trying to grab an airplane or a jeep. It had some unique shots for the time where a giant monster tries to grab people and things, from what I remember. Or tries to tear apart an airplane while it's flying. Which was ahead of its time. And they spent a bunch of money. If I remember, they spent a bunch of money on that monster. And then when they delivered it, they're like, what? That's it? That's what we fucking bought? But they, well, we got to go
we
in
want
anyway.
Our money back.
Yeah, we got to go in it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, Blierda said, I think Giant Claw almost had Ray Harryhausen. Yeah, I'd heard that, which obviously would have been much better. Much better. Pat Hatfield says...
They would have fucking paid him instead of bought that fucking marionette.
Yeah. And then they're like, well, now we're out of money and we have to use it.
The Japanese fucking blew fucking Giant Claw out of the water with Rodan. Because Rodan, I remember seeing that as a kid, fucking loved it. The big flying pterodactyl.
Although, you know, don't get too... Because Japan also had the Gamera movies, and they had some pretty silly monsters in those fucking Gamera movies. What was the one... What was that one monster whose head looked like a knife?
Oh.
And then, like, his little lower jaw was, like, triangular and went...
Yeah, and he shot the damn fucking stars out of his...
Yeah, and he had little...
Bergeron?
Baragon? No, Baragon was the one that kind of looked like... He was four-legged.
Okay.
The one with the knife head... Yeah. Was it Zegra?
Zegra, probably something like that.
I can't remember. I've seen so many of them. I can't remember which monsters. But he's like the, and he could like cut like other monsters like into little steaks, which I thought was kind of cool.
I was too young to realize that there's a difference between like the Toho ones and then that company. But you look at it now, the Toho ones were a lot better because they were smashing model buildings. They didn't have model buildings in the Gamera ones; they were too expensive. They didn't have some, but they just weren't all that good.
And the Gamera movies always had a Kenny.
Yeah, there's a Kenny running around. Get him, Gamera, Gamera. Just singing, and little kids singing, and they're wearing booty shorts. Little boys with booty shorts and fucking baseball caps and shit. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fucking ridiculous.
Pat Hatfield said, Transmutations is the real disappointment of the early Barker adaptations. Yeah, that's the same director as this one. I don't think I've seen it, honestly. It's really a shame because I love Clive Barker's written work, but movie adaptations of his stuff, most of them just really aren't that good. I mean, Hellraiser's good, Candyman's good, Midnight Mate Train was good. Other than that, not really a lot of them stand out all that much. Yeah. I think the thing about it is that if you're going to make a Clive Barker, if you're going to adapt a Clive Barker story, you have to go all in. I mean, Hellraiser worked because it went all in. It was, like, super gory. It had all the S&M, the weird sexual shit that's in the story. You can't, like, bowdlerize any of Clive Barker's stories. So, like I said, if you're going to remake Rawhead Rex, then go all in with the penis monster thing. You know what I mean? Go all in with, like, the sexual stuff. Yeah. Go all in with that male energy folklore. And I think it would be, like, a lot better.
Pat's mad that I compared Rawhead Rex to Shockwaves. He wants to explain that. No, they're
Shockwaves wasn't that with the monsters. There wasn't even monsters in that, no, was it? It was just guys in German uniforms that were just kind of like pale.
Yeah, and they were walking across the water. What I was talking about is that I said that the two movies have a similar production quality. I would say, or no, I'd say like the similar kind of not production quality, but yeah, like the budgets would be similar. It's about like that. I don't know. Shockwaves might have been even cheaper to make.
It looks like it was. Yeah, probably. Because the thing about Shockwaves is that it had a lot of padding.
Yeah, a lot of padding.
A lot of people like walking around.
Yeah. The story was okay, though. The idea for Shockwaves would have been really good. It is good. It just didn't quite. I like the movie, though. That had Peter Cushing in it. He's fucking, you know, that's really one of the reasons to see that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch pretty much anything Peter Cushing's in.
Yeah, I mean. But there's something about Shockwaves to where I can go back and watch it and enjoy it. I don't know why. It just has a certain tone to it.
Yeah.
And knowing that it's like a Florida movie, that's also like a thing about it. It's like, oh yeah, that's up the road. It's a Southern horror movie. With Peter Cushing in it.
Yeah.
That's fucking pretty wild, man.
Leardo says, oh.
Wasn't that film just up above Daytona?
I thought it was shot like either South Florida or over on the West Coast. I don't remember.
Yeah, West Coast, I think is right. West Coast, yeah. I think, and it was by an old Spanish hotel that was abandoned then.
Yeah.
Probably gone now, probably torn down.
Yeah,
I thought I looked for it.
I thought it was like around Miami or something.
Okay.
Or West Palm or somewhere. But like I said, it was a while back.
I tried to look for that.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that we reviewed it not too long ago, because I know we did research about where that was. It must have just been in the last 6 months, because I think we watched it here, like in this house. Yeah,
I think I did find it.
Yeah, we did. I just can't remember where
that hotel.
I thought it was somewhere around Miami. What was like
funny?
Outside of Miami.
Yeah, what was funny is that if I recall correctly, because we reviewed it or we at least talked about it, when I went back to try to find where that hotel was. In the day that they filmed Shockwaves, that was kind of like in the middle of nowhere, like a resort away from everything else. But now I think it's almost in damn middle of the city today, because it's sprawled, you know, sprawled out. Florida's becoming suburban sprawl in a lot of those places. But back in those days, it was like something out of the movie The Island, you know, not much there. Tropical paradise shit.
Leardo says the monster that I was trying to think of from the Gamera movie was Giron. That's right.
Giron, yeah.
Giron. Zegra was the one that kind of looked like. Wasn't Zegra the one that kind of looked like the
Rodan,
just
right?
lumpy? No, he just looked like kind of a lump of hair or something. I don't remember. Was that the one with the kid that looked like Richard Burton?
The little Richard Burton kid.
Where they go in the spaceship and there's those two women that are in there that are creepy and like give them donuts and stuff.
One looked like an ankylosaurus with a fucking bull's head on it. Remember that? It had spikes on the side of him, and he had a fucking tail.
See, that was Baragon.
That was Baragon?
I'm pretty sure that was Baragon.
Why are we trying to remember these?
I don't know.
Why are we trying to remember these things?
But yeah, so, like I said, of all the movies that they're remaking, I wish that they would not, like, remake movies that were perfectly good to start with. But I wish, if they're going to remake something, remake this.
Yeah.
Because the original source material is great. We have the technology nowadays to do it. And, you know, you could probably get away with a lot more nowadays if you were going to make it. And you wouldn't even have to, like, you know, have it in the theater or, like, anything like that. You could just go right to streaming if you wanted to. I just really kind of think that this is... And, like I said, Clive Barker wants to do it, too. Like, he definitely wants... Because I think that, you know, he thinks the dude kind of fucked it up. Which he did. It is kind of fucked up. The thing about it, like I said, there's good things about it. I like the mythology behind it. I kind of like some of the shit, but the monster looks ridiculous. The actors are not great and are kind of like all over the place, like they're in different movies. And I don't like the end. The end seems like really like anticlimactic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This movie could be fixed though. It's a good idea. It's a good story. Actually, the movie couldn't be fixed. This movie needs to be reshot. There needs to be another one of these. And it has to be as good as Pumpkinhead when it comes to special effects.
Yeah, because look how good that monster looked. Although, like I said, I'm pretty sure Stan Winston did that. It was kind of like, you know, he's the man.
So. They got young guys that could probably do
but that. But yeah, I mean, now, and honestly, if they did it and it looked kind of like, if they did Rawhead Rex and it looked more like the monster from the graphic novel, they could do that as a practical effect because it's still, like, kind of humanoid.
Yeah, I'd do it practical.
You know, I think that would be really cool. Maybe they could get, like, Guillermo del Toro or somebody like that to do it.
It doesn't talk. It needed to talk, if you ask me.
I think in the story, I can't remember if it talked in the story, but in the, in the movie, it was just kind of like a big, like a big monster brute, like this a gorilla.
The Hulk, basically.
Yeah. I think in the story, I don't remember if it could talk, but it was for sure, like, intelligent.
Yeah.
And it could learn. Right. You know what I mean? Like, what, like, it learned how to use fire and it did shit like that, like, because it had been asleep for, like, a long time, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was, the story kind of, like, went into its thought processes, but I don't remember if it talked or not. I don't think it did. But it was, like, for sure smarter than what they showed in the movie. Because, like I said, it just looked like a fucking, it looked like WWF, to be honest, or like a Guar show. And the way that it was shot just was not... I don't know if it was the lighting.
Yeah.
It was very flat.
Yeah, it was no mystery to it at all.
It was very flat. Like, there was no... Yeah. I kind of feel like a lot of the shots didn't have any, like, visual interest.
There's a shot where he comes jumping up out of the water, and there's, like, a castle behind him or something, or a church behind him, and fucking lightning coming down, and he's going, rah! It's like something out of a damn... It's basically like something out of fucking The Incredible Hulk, like the Incredible Hulk television series.
A lot of it kind of looked like really cheesy, like death metal music videos, like from the 80s.
Which maybe that's why we partially liked it, because he had kind of like a, like I said, kind of like this weird medieval looking fucking heavy metal outfit on.
Like, yeah, he had like boots. Blackula. I was like, I can't take seriously a monster that wears boots and has a mullet.
Yeah, he had a boots on.
I mean...
Yeah.
He's a demon. I was like, why does he have clothes on?
Come out in cool clothes.
Why does he have clothes on? Like, the one, he didn't have clothes in the story. And in the graphic novel, he was just like, he's just like a monster. He doesn't have clothes.
In hell, they got clothes. You know that? They got clothes.
He stopped at Goodwill on the way up.
No, they got badass clothes. Kind of dressed like the Kurgan from fucking Highlander.
Yeah, like I said, he kind of reminded me of like I said, the biker from the Raising Arizona.
Krugan. Yeah, he's like the Krugan from fucking...
Like, with all the little skulls and stuff like that, like on his sleeves.
He had a head looking across between a horse and a pig.
Well, and a kind of a gorilla.
And a gorilla.
A little bit of a gorilla.
Yeah.
But I think that was like... And he had, like, all these teeth and stuff, but like I said, the mouth didn't move.
It wasn't scary.
And it was just like... As soon as you saw it, you just, like, bust up laughing.
Well, it was like something you see from fucking, like, Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's what, like I said, somebody said it looked like cross between a Power Rangers villain and, like, a member of Guar. Yeah. Actually, the members of Guar are probably scarier. Yeah. Probably scarier looking.
You seen the manager of Guar? He's got the huge fucking wig, like the huge.
Oh yeah, I know you're
like
talking,
an Elvis pompadour, and he'll fucking sit in there and fucking talk to you about fucking what happened on 9/11 and 9/11 conspiracy theories and shit.
I saw Guar a bunch of times back in the day.
Guar's manager is a fucking suit. Is a character. I think there are no original members to Guar. And I don't think
I haven't followed them in a long time.
I don't think there has been original members to Guar for a long time. I think it's just an ever-rotating staff.
Well, that's kind of the nice thing about, like, dressing up in costumes is that anybody could be in there.
Yeah. I think they get new names, though, I think. I don't know.
Well, you got to give them credit. They committed to that shtick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know?
Yeah. Not all at the same time. One at a time. They committed to it one at a time.
Their shows used to be, like, really, really entertaining. But, like I said, I haven't been to one in, like, a really long time.
I just remember seeing a poster in Detroit for it. They had it fucking nailed everywhere. One of the characters is called Balzac the Magnificent.
Yeah, that's right.
Balzac was his name. Yeah. I'm going, what the fuck is this? And one of them was a girl, and her titties were out. I don't know if they were real titties or fake titties. But she had a head and a fucking thing, and she's wearing and she had hair. I think she had a mask on with fucking... I think her titties were out. Big old titties. But they were probably big rubber titties. You know how Guar was, you know? just funny.
Can I make you a shirt that says "Big Rubber Titties"?
Big Rubber Titties.
Will you wear it? Will you wear it if it just says that across?
They did those like Rapidiograph fucking posters back in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they were just fucking up everywhere.
Did you go up and like smell them?
That's what
the Rapidograph.
No,
that's what they used to do with it.
Certain smell.
That was Mimeograph, I guess.
Mimeograph is cool.
That's what they give them to you. Like they had one in the office at the school, and they would like run off all the.
Yeah, they had a smell to them.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And everybody, as soon as they passed him out to everybody would pick him up and go, because, like, the ink was, like, smelled real funny.
No, they just had him,
I don't know why I thought
that. I just saw that in Detroit. They had him, that was back when they would make a shit ton of flyers and staple them to fucking telephone poles.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore.
You do, kind of. Like, in big cities, you do.
Well, you know, you just go on fucking Instagram or Facebook and fucking post links. And
yeah, it's just that you don't really have to.
You don't have to,
like, pay to print all that shit out. You can just put stuff up for free.
Leave litter everywhere, and it doesn't reach as many people, and it doesn't target market it.
Yeah.
See?
It's kind of better all around.
It's better now.
It's better all around.
Yeah. And graphic design is so much better now. But those old fucking Rapidograph graphics, they looked kind of cool. Just one color, and it was real rough, low res.
Yeah.
Kind of had an underground kind of fucking feel to it.
Well, even like a lot of bands and stuff nowadays try to replicate that that look, you know, just because they like that, the way that looked.
All right, Jenny, do we have enough of Rawhead Rex?
Yeah, I guess we do. So, this movie is on, what is it on? Is it on Shudder? Did we watch it on Shudder? I can't remember if it's on Shudder.
I think it was on Shudder, maybe.
I think it was on Shudder. It might be, like, other places, too. It's, like, it's not a great movie, but it's, you know, if you want to, like, have some drinks or get high or something like that and, like, watch the shit and, like, laugh at the monster when it pops out, have some kind of drinking game. Like, for whenever the monster, like, does some heavy metal shit, maybe. Yeah. But this is one that I'd really, really like to see redone.
I kind of liked it.
I like it, too, but it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's a ridiculous movie.
Yeah.
But I'd really, really like to see this redone, because I really, really like the original story.
Yeah.
And I'd honestly just really like to see Clive Barker done right.
Yeah.
The way I imagine his stories. I know they're hard to do, because his shit's way out there, but...
It's a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we will be back tomorrow talking about, I think we're going to be talking about Needful Things, the Stephen King adaptation, because we just watched that last night. So we will see you guys again tomorrow evening. Bye.